Chapter 10. Nixon Departs. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Jesus. 1892. The new church was semi-organized, and it was also semi-secret. A regular meeting of the old church was held as usual a week later, on Friday, September 30th, with no mention being made of the new church. It was necessary to proceed with caution in all areas, as Mrs. Eddy's letter of September 17th to the directors implies. Dear students, I have a request to make that it is your duty to grant, namely, that malicious minds be not allowed again to cause you to sign a circular letter that you send out which in any way shall conflict with the spirit and the letter of my trust deed. There is a purpose in the minds of the mesmerists to do this again, and I ask that you guard your actions in this respect. Mr. Nixon is still waiting and looking towards getting out of the church building fund enough to start for the publishing rooms a fund, which is a mild species of embezzlement. Yours in Christ, Mary B.G. Eddy. An article by Mrs. Eddy in the October Journal to the contributors of the church building fund in Boston was considered so important that thousands of extra copies of the October issue were printed and offered for several months in lots of 50 or more for 5 cents per copy if purchased for free distribution. A notice on page 289 of the same issue was of equal importance. At an earlier date, Mrs. Eddy had stated that she would teach one more normal class. Notice, I have seen within the last 4 months, as never before, the great need that students have of being Christian Scientists in word and deed, in their affections, aims, and ambitions. For this cause, I indefinitely postpone my class. In the interest of the student and of our cause, I do this. Please never inquire of me, when will you open your class? But wait patiently till having on a wedding garment, I invite you to the feast. Also, my son, Dr. E. J. Foster Eddy, adds that for the same cause as above named, he respectfully asks his applicants for the primary course to wait 1 year longer before entering his class. Mary B.G. Eddy. Future events seem to indicate that the doctor's request was really that of Mrs. Eddy, to give him a year to mature and develop his affections, aims, and ambitions in Christian Science. A letter to Mrs. Nixon on the 1st of October, no doubt, helped to strengthen that lovely woman in future domestic trials, for she remained ever faithful to Christian Science and to her leader. My dearly beloved in Christ, yours of the 28th the previous month made me sad, sad that I am not understood, when my heart holds not one emotion towards you but love. I do not question your pure devotion and beautiful Christian character. I always recognize this. But I did remark to Miss Campbell my thoughts on the influence that I know is employed to disunite the hearts of Christians everywhere. The broadcast influence of erroneous thoughts is what I refer to, both voluntary and involuntary, against which everyone should, needs, to watch and to recognize in order to be safe under the shadow of his wings. Oh, do not doubt my confidence in you as a Christian. Few of my students have ever impressed me with the faith I have in your honesty, Christian life. This is all I need assure you. I have to probe many hearts to heal them, but love, love only, drives me to do this. I have to talk and write what God bids me, often when I feel myself praying that this cup might pass from me. Yet I yield lovingly, or try to the divine will, and do and write and talk as I understand God would have me. This, dear one, is my mission, even if it is a cross under which one may faint, as did our blessed Master. Yet say, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, do not take hearsay whereby to interpret my words or my motives. Nobody gets me rightly who speaks of me. Kiss the sweet wee one for me. Give my love to your husband and dear Paul, and believe me ever sincerely. Your loving teacher, Mary B.G. Eddy. Wednesday, October 5th, was a day of great import. It was the regular meeting of the Christian Scientists Association, and great pains had been taken to make it a memorable meeting, which it was with members coming from as far away as California. Students have referred to this meeting and the church meeting that followed on the same day as Pentecostal. It was a truly harmonious, joyous occasion, described by one student as, quote, the remarkable meeting of October 5th, where sense was hushed, and the students given evidence that the gold of their character had been refined in the fire, end quote. Mrs. Eddy sent an invitation to those present to unite with the Mother Church, which many did simply by signing their names in the new membership book of the new church. Mrs. Nixon had had a beautiful unfoldment. She said it was as if the leaves of a book were turned over before her vision, and she read and understood the workings of error and saw the right course to be pursued. It was perfectly clear to her that it would have been safe to build with the first title. In her words, on October 5th, 1892, when we had a church meeting and the first opportunity was given for all to sign for membership, I told what I had been shown, and many claimed that their vision was cleared through my help. Mr. Nixon sat beside me, and when I finished talking and sat down, I looked to him and was amazed at his white face and expression. And on the way home, he declared that he should never attend another meeting. I did not do this deliberately. Someone told Mrs. Eddy of my action, and she said that if I had asked her advice as to the wisdom of speaking thus publicly, she would probably have advised against it. But she added, "I am glad you did not ask me." A letter from Mrs. Eddy to Mrs. Nixon a few weeks later tells the aftermath of this situation. In yours of October 31st, you spoke of your strong desire to return to Boston and work in the field. I have no doubt of your sincere purpose and sympathize with you, but feel it is my duty to inform you of your husband's letter to my son, Dr. Eddie, read by me today, in which he gives notice of his intention to stop publishing for us on the close of his term, for which we hired him, namely, the 1st of next January. The January journal contained Nixon's letter of resignation, which ended with the words, quote, that we may each one do all the good we can, in all the ways we can, to as many as we can, is my desire, end quote. Sad to say, that young man did not live up to his expressed desire. He not only departed from his positions as publisher of the Christian Science Journal and of Mrs. Eddy's writings, but from Christian Science, and later even from his devoted wife, only to turn up as a witness against Mrs. Eddy in the lawsuit in 1901, and again in 1907. It is said that in later years, in semi-invalidism, he returned to Christian Science.